And then Ronaldo! Oh! What a goal by Cristiano Ronaldo!
Messi to the near post! Messi to the net!
Mamma mia! Lionel!
Ronel Kiyoko now. Here's a Honduran, and he'll whip it in back to the far post. Elise! Albert Elise! La Pantarita! It's a Honduran connection!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
It is the eve of UEFA Champions League, and that makes us all very, very happy. A couple of great games tomorrow. We're going to talk about that here tonight. Here we go on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. We're on the air. Spurs today with a 1-0 victory over Manchester City. Does that affect maybe Manchester City in the title race? And if you're a Liverpool fan, you got to feel pretty good about the fact that they got knocked off and there's a bit of pressure on them for the second leg against Spurs in the Champions League. Liverpool 2-0 over Porto today, and they are in control of that tie. Let's get your thoughts here today. Liverpool fans, Manchester United fans, Spurs fans, City fans, want to hear from you. Barcelona fans, are you out there? Call in number 713-780-3776, and we are streaming at ESPN975.com. We've got an interesting show tonight. We're jumping around in a number of different places. Would love to take your phone calls tonight on anything soccer-related here. Dynamo will be in action against San Jose this weekend. We've got Dynamo tickets, and guess what? The NWSL will open up this weekend. We've got Houston Dash tickets to give out as well. So you got the Dynamo at home on Saturday, then you have the Houston Dash on Sunday. Guests on the show tonight, we're going to go to Austin, and we have all known about what's going on in Austin from a professional soccer standpoint. The Austin Bold is a USL team. They play out at COTA, which is the Circuit of the Americas racetrack, which, by the way, MotoGP is there this weekend. I will be making a run up there on Sunday because I want to see these insane speed freaks at 200 miles an hour on motorcycles scraping their knees against McAdam. But I'm heading up there Sunday, likely to check that out. But we're going to have the head of the Austin Bold and the founder and chairman of the Circuit of the Americas, Bobby Epstein, on the show tonight. We're going to ask him where this team is positioned now that Austin FC has joined the fray in Austin, Texas, when it comes to professional soccer. So it's going to be a great segment with him. Looking forward to that. By the way, he's a soccer player. He does like soccer. They've built a small stadium there. It looks great. They had over 5,000 at the first game. They played San Antonio and our good friend Tim Holt. Victor Valencek is with Houston Culés. That is the FC Barcelona supporters group here in Houston. Great fans of them. Tom Clare of the Houston Red Army, the noted author. You've heard him on the show many, many times. Both of these guys are going to join us on the show here tonight to talk about this wonderful joint effort they're doing. And this is what supporters groups are about. This is called thinking outside the box. Tomorrow, even though it's a work day, I'm understanding there's a strain of the flu going through Houston at this very moment here, that there may be a few soccer fans calling in sick to work tomorrow. I don't think any question. I'm getting up early tomorrow to get a lot of my stuff done so I can watch this game. But it is Manchester United and Barcelona, and this is going to take place down at King's Court, 903 Hutchins, a great sponsor of our show. So get down there tomorrow. It's going to be fun. A few beers will be flowing. And we're going to watch what could be a really, really exciting match between Manchester United and FC Barcelona down at King's Court. And I'm going down there for, I'm going to have a version of maybe some chicken curry, I think, or maybe some of the kebabs that they do. But the food is great there, and it's going to be a lot of fun. We will have Soccer Matters t-shirts down there. 20% goes back to the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. So hoping to move and get a few of those on people's backs. So Bobby Epstein, Tom Clare, Victor Valencek tonight on the show. These are some of the great guests that we have. Now, we just saw the U.S. women in action on Sunday night. I was very fortunate and privileged to be a part of that broadcast because they brought the 99ers back. So those of you who are women's soccer fans here tonight, it's an opportunity for you to talk about the influence that they have had on young women. And it was an amazing night honoring the 99 Women's World Cup team. That was 20 years ago when they won that World Cup in the United States over China. It's crazy. All but two of those players were in attendance. So all the greats were there. Mia Hamm, Michelle Akers, Julie Foudy, of course, on the broadcast with me, Kate Margraf. On and on we go. So there was a lot of honoring going on at the Banc of California Stadium. There were actresses out there in support of the women. Jennifer Garner was there, Jessica Chastain, Eva Longoria, Natalie Portman. A number of people were out there support. So what did we learn, though, from the actual game? What we did learn was this. If we're being truthful, Belgium are far away from it. They're a third-tier European team. Now, what we did see with Belgium is there is some players that are technical, but they weren't allowed to show those technical skills because there is just such a large gap when it comes to the athletic and physical side of it. Conversely, teams like France and Spain have closed that gap. And that is why the French are considered one of the teams that could potentially win the World Cup at home. So when you look at the United States, number one in the world going into that match, and then you look at the Belgian women at 20, you see the difference between number one in the world and number 20. But what's your biggest takeaway from that U.S. match against Belgium? What is your biggest takeaway? And we can even take it back to Australia, which is a far more competitive game at 5-3. There is some concern around the U.S. women defensively. So some of your thoughts. The U.S. is grouped with Thailand and Chile. They should breeze through Thailand and Chile based on history and experience. And then they get to Sweden. That becomes a difficult group game in your last one, which is probably what you want, ascending in your group play as you head into the knockout round. The interesting thing here is if the United States wins that group, there's a potential that they could meet up in the quarterfinals against the host nation, France. And if you remember, France has beaten the U.S. in recent times here. So that makes it interesting. There are a ton of storylines around this FIFA Women's World Cup in France this summer. And the United States, one of them, is they could win potentially for the first time ever back-to-back World Cups, and that would come under Jill Ellis. The big one this weekend, Bayern Munich and Dortmund. This one was drum-rolled up as, guess what? The German Bundesliga now is more competitive. Dortmund is going to win it this year, and what happens is at Bayern Munich and the Allianz Arena, Dortmund gets absolutely slaughtered. They give up 4 goals in the first half. They get killed. And, you know, we're now here after we've swept away the carnage, and we're going, well, is really the Bundesliga competitive with Bayern Munich anymore? Because a 5-0 scoreline really makes you think differently around that. This was a blowout. And Dortmund looked like a deer in headlights, sadly, and didn't live up to it. Obviously, Christian Pulisic remained injured. Started 10 minutes in, Mats Hummels, Lewandowski in the 17th, Javi Martinez in the 41st, and then Serge Gnabry, who's going to be one of the great stars in the future for the German national team, has been capped limited amount of times but scored in that 3-2 win over the Netherlands. Gnabry in the 43rd. So it's 4-0 at halftime. 2 goals in the opening 17 minutes. I mean, this, I don't know if this is a word I should use, this is a blitzkrieg if you're German. It just never stopped. I mean, Dortmund just was a mess. And at the end of the day, they had one shot on goal. So does this match dispel the theory that the Bundesliga has gotten more competitive? Or is this just a reminder that Bayern owns it, they will own it again, and they will win it for the 7th straight time? Lewandowski, by the way, and I haven't heard enough people talk about this, he becomes only the 5th player. Listen to this carefully. The 5th player in Bundesliga history to score 200 goals. And by the way, he's the first non-German to do it, as he's a Polish international. So pretty incredible there. I was lucky because I was on my way to Los Angeles, and I was really lamenting the fact that I may miss this game. Then I'm like, well, wait a second. Call him and see if, you know, there's television on the plane. And fortunately for me, I was able to watch the entire game, and then upon landing in L.A., I had watched the first 20 minutes of D.C. United getting dismantled by LAFC, who clearly is the most smooth-moving machine right now in all of Major League Soccer. Bob Bradley and LAFC. And by the way, that women's game was at the Bank of California Stadium. Place is amazing. We posted a couple videos up on Facebook Soccer Matters. Tottenham Hotspur today with a 1-0 win. Real concern around Harry Kane and an injury in this one. Comes at a cost. 713-780-3776. They beat Manchester City. And then, of course, Liverpool, a 2-0 win today, getting a goal from Naby Keita. It sounded like this, and this would put Liverpool up 1-0 at home.
Firmino's showed himself well. Keita's got a chance here. He's deflected it in. Liverpool ahead in the fifth minute. And Keita's involved yet again. Big deflection on that. He doesn't care. Liverpool don't care. They're one up already.
God, early goals are just so uplifting. I mean, early goals are uplifting. Anybody from the Liverpool supporters group who caught this game out at O'Connor's Pub out on I-10, give me a call. That is a great spot, too, by the way, O'Connor. So head over there. They're one of our great sponsors on this show as well. They'll get a second, and who is it but Bobby Firmino.
Roberto Firmino, across to Henderson, who assesses the options. Alexander-Arnold is one of them. Oh, and it's brilliantly done. It's brilliantly done. Firmino finishes it off. Picture-book goal from Liverpool. And now they lead by two.
So let me take you to Spurs and Manchester City, because this game could have went in a very, very differing direction if not for an Hugo Lloris save on a penalty here. Here is Lloris's penalty save.
Sergio Aguero, huge moment, 12 minutes gone. And a massive moment for the Tottenham captain, Hugo Lloris. He saved it!
And that's how you be a captain. You save a penalty from Sergio Aguero. That is quickly translated into leadership. Yes, that is leadership. Hugo Lloris denying Aguero from the penalty spot. And guess who gets the lone goal in this one? Son.
Here's Eriksen. Son's made the run. Son couldn't take it initially. Still keeps it in, though. Son, and then he's in! Oh, he scores!
Excitement. Spurs new stadium, and we got Champions League talk. So AY wants to talk it. AY, what's on your mind? Thank you for calling into the show tonight.
How are you doing, Glenn?
I'm great. I'm looking forward to tomorrow, too. I mean, I hear those goal calls, and it gets me excited for tomorrow's Champions League.
I'm surprised you've not mentioned what happened yesterday. Did you see that Eden Hazard goal?
Yes, dribbling. He looked like a slalom skier, whipping through everybody and scoring that goal. Is he on his way to Real Madrid?
Yeah, that is what we are trying to tell. Look at, when Sarri took the job, he had a goal. The goal was for him was to get us to top four and to play in Champions. That was, and to play in Champions League. Of course, we knew we couldn't win. But as at late, yes, we are picking up some momentum. But our schedule is tough. But luckily, Arsenal is not good away. It's not a good side away from home. So those are consolations. Of course, Man United still has their woes. But for Chelsea to make top four, it means that Liverpool would not win the league, because there's no way we have to win for us to get to the top four. We have to win the game at Anfield this coming Sunday. And Liverpool has. And if Liverpool doesn't win that game, they can't make it. They can't win the title, which is their own goal. So you see, the Premiership is such a tough place. And again, relegation-bound teams. And you realize that some teams, the likes of Everton, Watford, and what's the name of this other team? Wolverhampton are chasing that seventh spot so that they can play in Europa League. So those teams they are playing, any big team that plays against them will find it tough. But also the Champions League, yes, I'm looking forward to the Manchester United, Barcelona. I want to see what Messi will do, because that's the reason why I watch Champions League or Barcelona, just to see what Messi will bring out. So Glenn, let me leave you alone. I know you have a long show today, but you know I always call in. Thanks, nice talking to you.
AY, thank you very much. We appreciate your comments. And yes, I love the Hazard goal, because you know what? And this is what I'm going to throw to everybody to break, courtesy of you, AY, because you brought this up. I'm going to say, going to break tonight, 713-780-3776. When you get this question, I would love your responses. What is the element of the game that you enjoy the most? For me, it's people taking people on off the dribble. To me, when somebody beats somebody off the dribble, it breaks lines, it alters an opposing team, it leads to entertainment. So I'm a big fan of the dribblers, AY, just like Eden Hazard. All right, we're going to take a break here. 713-780-3776. What is the element of the game that you like? There's real fear around Harry Kane of Spurs missing the rest of the season. So, you know, you have to think City's going to turn this thing around at home. Jurgen Klopp lauding the brilliant play of Jordan Henderson. Keita. Barcelona can't leave United alive in first leg. So Pique is saying you got to put him away early at Old Trafford. Think that can happen tomorrow? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. More to come here tonight. I got something interesting on Niko Kovac, the manager of Bayern Munich. And we may even toss in a game on for 90 here talking about our youth soccer community because, boy, there's some things that just make you really shake your head about where it's going and where we are right now. And there's a lot of positive going on, but boy, the game is dominated by dollars, and it's kind of sad. Take a break. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Daspit Law Firm is your presenting sponsor.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Time now for Glenn to name today's big winner. From the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, there's lots of winners all around the world in soccer today, but I'll tell you what, I'm going local, and this is brought to you by Hugh O'Connor, 7620 Katy Freeway, the Marquee Entertainment Center, 18 TVs, big screen, and it is home to the Liverpool-Houston Supporters Group. So, you know what? We're going to give the winner's award tonight to the Houston Red Army Local Supporters Group and to the Houston Culis Supporters Group because they are doing a joint watch party tomorrow where the Houston Red Army normally watch their games, which is Kings Court down at 903 Hutchins. Then they're going to flip it next Tuesday, and all the Manchester United supporters are going to go over to Revelry on Richmond, and that is where Houston Culis is. So I think a wonderful idea, wonderful statement, and we need soccer moments like these that bring people together. We're going to have a great time. So if you're feeling like you want to bust out of work, Kings Court, 903 Hutchins tomorrow to watch the Champions League. We're going to be there. We're going to have some Soccer Matters gear there as well. 713-780-3776. So we welcome you back to the show. I've got Jerry Bowe coming on soon. And Jerry Bowe knows gambling and soccer. And we're going to talk a little bit about how this deal with MGM Resorts International, which is a four-year partnership with MLS, how it can help kind of illuminate the game here in the United States. And I'm sure he's going to have some things to tell me that I'm not even aware of. But, you know, there's all kinds of things that are going to happen, sports betting apps and everything. And it could grow the sport of soccer. So we will talk with Jerry about that. This past weekend, FC Bayern. So Bayern Munich came to town. And they hosted a watch party. The Dortmund watch party was down to pitch 25. Great crowd came out. Another great event. And I sat down with some of the Bayern people. And, of course, this is all ahead of Bayern Munich coming here to play at Energy Stadium against Real Madrid in July. It's a big deal. The ICC, Charlie Stilettano. And you know, we're talking about Bayern Munich and them trying to amplify their brand in the United States. They took an office in New York, yada, yada, yada. And was told that, you know, they didn't want to come here and start, you know, Bayern Munich camps and everything. And they wanted to make sure that they came into the United States in a very respectful manner. Not that others haven't, but that they didn't want to come in and just start putting their name on everything and anything. That they wanted to do it very calculated, which is, by the way, very German. They did make an agreement with FC Dallas. Let's not forget, right? Chris Richards. FC Dallas got $1 million Richard after that transfer. Remember, he spent a year playing for the Texans here in Houston, which led him to then go to FC Dallas. So they do have a partnership there, and that's a real partnership. But it's not one of these things like, it's the FC Bayern camp, and then it's a bunch of local coaches who've been hired by FC Bayern. Not to say that they aren't good coaches, but, there is a lot of branding, and some of it maybe isn't as genuine as others. So those are things you see. I mean, everybody has a camp now in the U.S. and is doing something, because the U.S. is still a very, very big market for many, many people. By the way, we're on Facebook Live tonight, courtesy of Victor Ariza. Houston Dynamo tomorrow. Anybody have any thoughts on that? I'll tell you what. Let's throw out a pair of tickets to the Dynamo San Jose Earthquakes right now. Caller number 5 at 713-780-3776. Caller number 5, 713-780-3776. Houston Dynamo taking on Matias Almeida and the San Jose Earthquakes. And it was pretty interesting. I did catch some of the game. So Matias Almeida and San Jose finally get a win, a 3-0 win over Portland. The 3-0 win over Portland, you see a very aggressive San Jose. And this has been a trademark of Matias Almeida and his coaching. But Almeida is the star of the San Jose Earthquakes. He's the biggest name. And he had a rough start to MLS. On the other hand, MLS is very forgiving. You have time to recover. And now you have, instead of a team that might have lost again, now you have a team coming in off their first win, and they're going to be very hungry. They're going to be very a little bit more confident. And you could see that something certainly changed in that Portland game. By the way, Portland's on the road for some crazy amount of games to start the season while their stadium's getting renovated. I think they're on the road for 12 straight. That may be the longest of any MLS team in history. That is a calculated risk to go on the road for 12 straight games. Because even though MLS is forgiving, I'm not sure it's that forgiving. And they're in a real rut, man. They are conceding a ton of goals. And this is a team with the likes of Diego Valeri and Diego Chara. Real struggles there. That's an interesting one to keep an eye on. But San Jose will come in here with some strength and power. One thing that really stood out to me, I was listening to the broadcast, and the commentators were talking about, well, maybe it's the game you get Chris Wondolowski on so he can get his record-setting goals. And actually, I respect Matias Almeida for not putting him on. I took the opposite angle. That's a sign of strength from a coach, because a coach who has not won a couple of games and is about to win is not doing anybody any favors to put him in a position, to set a record. There's going to be plenty of time for that. And I like the fact that he didn't put on that great player, Chris Wondolowski, because, quite frankly, when you're 0-3 and you're finally winning a game of 3-0, you better make sure you win it. And then, number two, you're not doing anything charitable in that game. You're doing the things to do to win it. And that, to me, was a sign of strength from the manager, Matias Almeida. And I would imagine you're going to see a couple of Chivas jerseys here on Saturday. So we gave a couple of tickets out there. We're glad for that. And you know what else is going to happen? On Sunday, the Houston Dash will take on Reign FC. They will open their season under James Clarkson, new manager. Used to be the head of the Dynamo Academy and the youth side of things. So tell you what, let's do caller number 6 right now. Any women's soccer fans out there tonight? 713-780-3776. National team fans? Houston Dash fans? Who wants to go to an NWSL game? Caller number 6 at 713-780-3776. You get a pair of tickets to the Houston Dash right now. So go for it. 713-780-3776. Sixth caller right now. So back to Bayern Munich real quick here. Marco Reus said after the game for Dortmund, quote, on behalf of the entire team, I would like to apologize for our performance. We should have shown more character and mentality. So that's Marco Reus of Dortmund. And by the way, Bastian Schweinsteiger met up with the Bayern Toronto group recently, and there's rumors that Arjen Robben could potentially be coming to Major League Soccer to play for the Chicago Fire, and they're saying that Schweinsteiger is trying to help push Robben to come to play in Chicago. Good signing for MLS? What do you think? 713-780-3776. Would Arjen Robben be a good signing for Major League Soccer? 713-780-3776. Would like to get your thoughts on that. We heard AY talking about the amazing goal from Eden Hazard, running at opponents, slaloming like a skier. Amazing to watch. Balance, control at speed, elusiveness, change of direction. This is breathtaking. This is what I live for when I watch a game. I love people that have the skill, the courage, the bravado to take people on. What is your favorite skill, technique, or element of a soccer match that you like to watch? Could be anything. It could be the obvious. It could be goals. Andrew, what about you? When you watch a game, what is the favorite thing that you pull out of a soccer game? What technique? What subtlety?
Personally, my favorite part of the game is someone takes a chance from outside the box and they really just put their laces behind a ball and you see it rocket into that upper corner from 25, 30 yards out. To me, there's nothing more beautiful than seeing one of those shots just rocket into that upper
corner. You know what, Andrew? You're fired. You're fired. You know why you're fired? That's a typical American answer. You just crushed Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Pure power. Kick the crap out of the ball. I'm just kidding you. I'm kidding you, buddy. Yeah, long-range finishing's awesome. I never forget the one Sunday Olise scored in one of the past World Cups for Nigeria. One of the greatest. So, you know I'm just kidding, buddy. So, Andrew likes long-range finishing. I like dribbling. Victor, what do you like? Victor Ariza joins us.
I like back-and-forth games where both teams have a chance, where it's competitive. I don't like to see games where it's just dominated by one. If you ask me element of...
give me one specific element you like.
But if we were just talking about the game as a whole, I like, a game that takes place in a stadium where there's an atmosphere, where there's people, like...
No. Skill. One, the skill. So yeah. You like
back and forth
goals. You like dribbling. You like good team shape. What is it you like from the playing perspective?
Yeah, individual plays. Like we saw with Hazard. Like we see with Messi. Like we've seen in the past with guys like Ronaldo and Zidane, and just individual magic that just astonishes you.
when we relate that to Major League Soccer, we're seeing more of those types of plays in the last couple of years because MLS like has gone out and bought better players. So every time a team comes to BBVA Compass Stadium, you can look at two or three guys on these teams that can make plays for the most part. I don't think there's many teams that lose out in that category. There are more and more of those.
Yeah, I mean, dude, even Zlatan, right? Like he tried, 2 weeks ago against Portland? He tried that back heel thing again. I mean, it's nuts.
Yeah, we want people to try things. That sells tickets. We had a sellout last year when Zlatan Ibrahimovic came.
Vela's doing that this year too, by the way.
Carlos Vela's been remarkable. Here's a good stat on him. 13 goals and 5 assists. And obviously LAFC is the best team in the league right now. But between Carlos Vela and Diego Rossi, who, by the way, who's evaluating the talent and finding these guys. Diego Rossi, I mean, Carlos Vela's a known entity. Maybe Diego Rossi wasn't. 13 goals, 5 assists combined for Carlos Vela and Diego Rossi. Just saying. Minnesota United is going to unveil their new stadium this weekend at New York City FC. Allianz Field looks amazing. You know what? As we roll to break here, it's a Daspit Law Firm presenting sponsor break. We thank Hugh O'Connors. I would like you to roll. Goal number 5, Carly Lloyd back heel this past Sunday to the one and only Alex Morgan, who a couple days prior scored her 100th goal.
Morgan to Lloyd. Lloyd back on her right back heel. Morgan clips it into the upper roof of the net. It is 5-0 U.S. The architect, Carly Lloyd. The finisher, Alex Morgan.
Jerry Bonos is coming up next on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. Stay with us right now. I got another pair of tickets to the Houston Dash on Sunday night. Caller number four at 713-780-3776. A pair of tickets to the Houston Dash Reign FC. It is the NWSL opener.
But for 5 years, she was so nice. Know what she would love to do. I come home one particular evening.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm from the ESPN 97.5 studios. Here's Glenn Davis.
Muller. They are absolutely rampant by Munich. A fourth goal. Serge Gnabry has got it. A real statement from the champions. And here's a chance for Lewandowski to make it 5-0. An absolute obliteration of Borussia Dortmund tonight by Bayern Munich.
When Josephine's engine said it started to run hot, she tried to trade it in down a used car lot. The man couldn't believe his natural eyes when she pulled it up into his drive. Right on, Josephine, baby, right on.
Gotta let that run a little bit, because tonight George Thorogood and that great slide guitar down at the House of Blues. All right, gives me an opportunity to bring in now Jerry Bow at Jerry Bow Knows, K-N-O-W-Z on Twitter. He's the host of Moneyline Sundays 10 to noon on ESPN 97.5, Sports Map Houston, and Sports Gambling Podcast. So this guy, Jerry, knows it, and he's a good friend of mine as well. Jerry, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited. All you soccer fans out there, I'm excited to come on and talk about the big news that broke last month, and that was MLS getting into the gambling world, right?
Yeah, so let me take you into and just give a little quick Clip Notes version here. MLS did a deal with MGM Resorts International. It's a four-year partnership. They become the league's first official sports betting partner. MGM's going to get access to data and all kinds of things. They're going to work to bring soccer events to Vegas. Sports betting is obviously growing. MLS wants to be a part of it. There's going to be a mobile sports betting app from MGM as well. So what does this mean in the big picture, Jerry? And let's just start strictly from the gambling side of it. Then I want you to address what this means in the potential of growing, again, the popularity of soccer in this country, because there's all kinds of entry points into it. We know esports and stuff for kids has made soccer fans out of kids that maybe weren't going to be. Tell me about this and put that in context with gambling.
Well, last year, how quickly things changed, because once that act was lifted, we're talking about nationally, as far as you're allowed to gamble in states outside of Nevada, everything changed since then. And now they say actually MLS was on the forefront of trying to be the first league to have an official sponsor to do with gambling. But it ended up being going NBA and ended up going NHL, MLB. They all got with MGM Grand. NFL ended up going with Caesars themselves. But you ask, what does this do? Like, what changes? What does this do for us? What does this do for MGM? For MGM, they're the first. They're the officially first. Not exclusive, though. They made sure that on the deal, they didn't leave it exclusive, because as you see in England, in the English Premier League, we're going to use that as a model throughout this conversation.
Ladbrokes.
You see them at Bet365 on a lot of things.
Isn't Ladbrokes around too?
Yeah, yeah, for sure. So whenever you see sponsorships, just in England, they get over £50 million a year from just gambling. I believe it's spread out through six companies that are spread out through the EPL. £50 million just in sponsorship money from those guys. So the
incredible
money,
yeah. So what you're saying to me is, and what if I'm hearing this right, and I know that MLS teams have been aggressive to get involved with sports betting companies, we're going to see a sports betting company on the front of an MLS jersey at some point.
Oh, definitely. That was one of the big deals here. They wanted to have it on the front. Not only that, we're going to see a stadium with a name at some point. That's how big it is. You're seeing
Philadelphia Union. Let's do a bet right now. $10 on Philadelphia Union to be the first team to have the stadium named after a sports betting company, because there's a casino right down the street.
And that's the direction that we're headed in. So you ask, okay, from a fan's perspective, what are they going to do to, I guess, the whole point of this is to get the fan closer. Look what fantasy football did for the NFL. It has non-NFL guys, women, playing, watching Sundays just to see what their fantasy team does. What are they going to do? Roar is actually the entertainment company that's going to represent the gambling aspect. So they're a derivative of MGM Grand. They're going to step in. They're creating a free-to-play game to bring awareness to the people. A year ago, a year and a half ago, gambling was looked down upon. You know what I mean? It was like a backdoor thing.
It's called an addiction.
Exactly. And all of a sudden, now they're seeing ways to profit off of it.
Oh, all of a sudden, it's a nice thing to have a gambling addiction. It's not a bad thing.
Come on in.
$10 down on the Philadelphia Union.
In 2005, in the UK, we saw they had an act where gambling and casino companies were allowed to do things on TV and radio. 9 years, 1,400% increase in revenue in just that. So how do we portray that to here? Following the news on March 19th, that company, MGM, their shares have gone up 1.2%, 19.3% in the last 3 months. People were already ahead of the curve. They knew that it was coming, and they went ahead and got their shares in. It's going to bring you that close to the game. Your non-gambling guy is going to... It's going to be over 100 televised national games. It's going to be
okay,
on the field.
Let me put the brakes on you right there. Non-gambling guy all of a sudden says, hey, this is great. I can drop a bet on the Houston Dynamo or New York City FC or Toronto FC. I'm going to study the game a little bit. Do these guys actually become soccer fans? I mean, do you really feel they gain an affinity for the game, or is it strictly because of the rush that they've wagered something on one of the teams?
It's a rush, but I can't tell you how familiar I am with sports and teams that I never thought it would be because of gambling. Yeah. And that's what's going to benefit for the MLS here, because it's going to get a fan that regularly wouldn't be there. Say you win a bet on the Dynamo and you're not a Dynamo guy. You're a Dynamo fan now because your money won. You know what I mean? And that's going to bring the awareness. You're going to, when you're gambling, you break those games down and remember them like no other because your dollars were on them. And that's what's going to bring. It's going to bring a whole different crowd. An entire
Boy, you just
crowd.
Hit the nail on the head, though. You're getting people to be a little bit more analytic about the game. And maybe they're not people that know it, but they're gonna learn it. And these people learn it pretty quickly in an amazing fashion. Jerry Bow is joining me now. It's at Jerry Bow, KNOWZ on Twitter. Host of Moneyline Sundays, 10 to noon, ESPN 97.5, and really glad to get you on. This is some fascinating stuff. Take me into the mind of a gambler. You know, because it can be an addiction. It can be a problem for people.
Definitely, and I guess you have to realize where you have to let it...
People have bankrupted their families.
Yeah, exactly. So you have to... Exactly what MGM is doing right now. They're on the forefront. They'll see the mistakes first. So you live off of other people's mistakes and you say, hey, if you see things burning to the ground, you try to avoid that. But at the end of the day, I'm considering myself a professional gambler. I haven't had a steady job in 15 years. You know what I mean? I haven't. This is just what...
From what I understand, too, you're picking winners these days.
Blessed, let's say blessed.
Give me the record.
We hit 21 straight bets last week. 21 straight.
So how much research do you do?
All day long. But, okay, I heard you say last week about the Dynamo stats and how looking at the box score, someone would say, well, they lost possession. They lost shots on goal.
They lost every category, pretty much.
But that's not the way this works. You know that. It's a mental game. As a soccer fan, you know, okay, there's X amount of games left in the domestic league. They're checked out Champions League spot. So where are their marbles at right now? Are they more
injuries?
Worried?
How good is the tactical acumen of the coach? How do they match up? All these things.
All
right?
These things. Those ingredients. All you throw in, and that's how you get your bet.
But aren't you worried that people are going? Well, you're not going to be worried, but there are going to be people who come in and look at these types of stats, and that's their only judgment, who don't have a lens and don't know the sport. Those are the ones that are going to get screwed, right?
Exactly. We saw at this World Cup, we used to hear that possession is 9/10 of the law. All the teams with heavy possession were getting knocked out of the World Cup. That 2009, 2010 Spain, Barcelona-type soccer, where they could hold the ball, it's changed. You know what I mean? And you adapt your gambling to that. You adapt it to a manager versus manager. How today's games, for example, you know, knowing that Tottenham and that stadium. Now, don't get me wrong. If Aguero makes that penalty shot, it's a whole different game. The tactics change.
But not a bad bet to take today because they are in a new stadium and maybe there's something that's elevating their game and their application on this day.
Exactly. Or Liverpool, on the other hand. You know that Liverpool is playing domestically very well at home. You know that last year in this same spot, Klopp likes to come out and score in the first leg. He likes to go up real good in the first leg. He did it last year. I believe they won 5-0 in that spot. So you knew they were going to come out today.
Jerry Bo Knows, at Jerry Bo Knows, host of Moneyline, Sundays 10 to noon on ESPN 97.5. So, okay. So are you telling me we're going to get people taking bets on the first foul of the game, the first corner kick of the game, the first substitution of the game, the first penalty of the game? I mean, all these things are in play when it comes to wagering.
The greatest day in sports wagering every year, the greatest day happens to be on the Super Bowl. And why? Because they offer you the most exotic bets in the world. What is the national anthem? Is it going to go over or under a certain amount of time? You know what I mean? Just the most random bets in the world. But that's what gets us going. That's what gets the gambler going, and that's why I'm so glad that this happened, and I'm so glad they're going to create a game that's play for free to get you to learn the basics. Kind of that's what they try to do with the AAF. They try to do and it was MGM as well. They try to create an application where the fan can get closer to the action without actually having to gamble. That's what they're trying to do, because once you start playing that, like you said, it's an addiction, and once you taste that, then people are going to get accustomed to being able to play it.
Yes or no? Will this be good for the sport of soccer in the United States?
Yes.
Okay. Jerry Bo Knows, at Jerry Bo Knows, KNOWZ, on Twitter, host of Moneyline Sundays, 10 to noon on ESPN 97.5. Jerry, what's the over-under on my show last in another couple of years?
Oh, play the over. Bet that with your heart.
Buddy, a loaded question. All right, thank you for coming in, Jerry. Congratulations on the success of your show as well.
Thank you so much.
We'll have you in again, because this is interesting stuff, and we only scratched the surface here today.
Game on, man.
Here's Glenn Davis.
Game on.
With Game On for 90.
Game on, game on.
All right, let me give you a general, yet what I believe is a real statement. When the U.S. men failed to qualify for the 2018 FIFA Men's World Cup in Russia, the reaction, criticism, assigning of blame, and accountability, it came heavy and hard. Why can't we as a country create more game changers, more Christian Pulisics? We're talking about our youth community. So one of the root causes cited was the United States pay-to-play youth setup in this country. It's profit-driven, and this remains the primary motivation in many cases for those running youth clubs. And that includes right here in Houston, no question. Now, not for a second, and I want you to make sure you hear this, am I saying that there aren't many great coaches and mentors working in the youth game? Because there are. And the priority at times, though, is really around size, numbers, fees, acquisitions, mergers, recruitment, domination, and it occurs here in Houston. Those are the types of words that are thrown around youth soccer. It mirrors the pro game. This language mirrors the pro game. It's a bit heavy for youth soccer, don't you think? And we all know the amount of money changing hands. We have business people now in the youth community that are looking simply at a player, and when they see his forehead, they see a dollar sign, and it says $2,500 a year. And sadly, it has tainted the youth soccer community. Now, I'm not against soccer clubs making profit, but it must be married with what is always the priority, and that's player development and the overall health of one soccer community. This can be healthy in the future. I don't know how. I don't know if there's a way back. And we are going to do a show where we are going to really focus more on what's going on in youth soccer. But many have been involved in player development decisions that are not qualified, and it has led to fragmentation. And it hurts overall player development and soccer community pride. It's disorganized. There are too many ideas, leagues, and efforts going on for the wrong reason. A more focused approach? How much better could the youth game be in our town? A subtle reminder tonight that the player, the game, must always be put first in a time where everyone seems to know what is best and where profit reigns over player development. Say I'm crazy. I don't know if it's going to change. You might even say, hey, guess what? It's just the way it is, and it has to be accepted. Yeah, I'm not sure about that. Take a break on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5.